So, Riley, how was the first day of school?
Fine, I guess.
Did you guys pick up on that?
Sure did.
Something's wrong. Signal the husband.
What did she say?
Oh, sorry, sir. No one was listening.
Is it garbage night? We left the toilet seat up. What is it, woman? What?
I'm Joy. This is sadness. That's anger.
What?
This is disgust. And that's fear. We're Riley's emotions. These are Riley's memories. They're mostly happy, you'll notice, not to brag.
I wanted to maybe hold one.
What happened?
She did something to the memory.
Is everything okay?
I don't know.
Take it back, Joy.
Great, Joy. No,
let
wait.
Go.
The poor memories.
No.
Can I say that curse word now?
What do we do now?
Nothing's working. Why isn't it working?
We have a major problem.
Now, a lot of you might have saw my Twitter, or my tweet, as you will, where I said, saw an absolutely beautiful film this week. Can't wait for the review. Could be my favorite movie of the year so far. And now I'm actually doing the review. And that movie just so happens to be Disney's Pixar's Inside Out. Disclaimer at the beginning of this review real quick. I am going to suck the dick of this mouse and Pixar for this film. I have nothing negative to say. So if you're looking for the P1 classic negative review, you might as well turn this off right now, because this is going to be nothing but a lot of praise for the next 15 to 20 minutes. It might even be shorter than that, because I don't know what else I could possibly say. I'm sucking a rat's dick. But that's right, people. I'm talking about Inside Out. I think it's one of the best movies made this year. I think it's one of the most creative movies made this year. Very different and ingenious. And created by two people who I just looked up not a while ago. And I gotta say, I even love it more now just because of that. But let's go ahead and get into a plot synopsis here. So, we have a girl named Riley. And she's voiced by Catlin Diaz. She was just born into the world, and then that's how you see Joy was created. Voiced by Amy Poehler, of course. And we kind of get clips of how Riley gets older and older, and the emotions she's come through, which is, you know, you got sadness played by Phyllis Smith. Richard Kine plays, oh, well, we'll get into him later, I guess. Bill Hader is fear, perfect cast, voice acting right there. Lewis Black is anger, another perfect casting. And Mindy Kaling, disgust, another perfect casting, voice casting right there. You got Diane Lane voicing the mom, and I think it was Kyle McLaughlin who voiced her dad. I'm not sure on that one, but voice acting is amazing here. It's fantastic, perfect casting choices and all that. But so they kind of go through the trials and tribulations of seeing Riley grow up, living in Minnesota, and then all of a sudden, you know, Joy has to say, you know, this is probably the best place ever. And then next, you know, it's time to move because dad has to work on a, I guess he's just started. It sounded like he started his own company because he kept talking about investors and this, and if this doesn't go right, then, you know, everything we got, it fails and stuff like that. So kind of like he started his own company in San Francisco. They move. They had this big home in Minnesota in the field and shit like that. And they moved to a, let's go ahead and say, downtown San Francisco. It was a crowded little home, which they made it seem like look like shit. But hey, you get that goddamn Swiffer out and you swift them hardwood floors and you do some painting on here. Then you got you a $1 million home right there, because San Francisco, them homes ain't cheap, so fuck Minnesota. And what happens is, on Riley's first day of school, she's Joy's pretty much in control of this whole command center, you know, because that's basically what this is in her mind. It's a command center where the emotions kind of control what Riley does on a daily basis, or how she feels, more like it. And Joy's pretty much getting ready for school, and as she's about to introduce herself, Sadness, but like, voiced by Phyllis Smith, she just can't stop touching shit. Every time Sadness touch shit, it turns joyful shit into sadness. It turns everything she touched into dark and moody or whatever and shit. I mean, you damn near become Man of Steel looking up into the sky and shit like that or whatever, you know? Damn, why did the screen just turn red? Wow. Oh, wow. That's even incredible right there. Even on the fucking IMDb page I just pulled up, people, They even got the damn page very creative here. It's turned into the different emotions and shit like that. Apparently, I must be mad right now. But, there's an incident where Joy tells her Sadness don't touch anything, but Sadness touched something. Next thing you know, it broke down. And Joy was trying to fix, because they have something called these, the memory lands, pretty much. You know, one is Riley really loves hockey. She has a hockey one. It's kind of like what creates your personality about what yourself. There's a hockey island. There's a family island. There's a trust island because he's very trustful. What was the other one? Damn it, I can't remember the other one. It was Goofball Land. Yeah, it was Goofball Island. Yeah, so once all these memories collapse because Sadness went and touched something, Joy's trying to put it back together, but then next you know it, she gets, along with Sadness, sucked into a tube and taken to these islands and straight out of the command center. So we're just left with Sadness, Fear, and Anger, which if you only have Sadness, Fear, and Anger running things in your mind, I guess we knows how that works out. You turn into a little emo brat. So, and then, you know what? We're on an adventure here to get Sadness and Joy back to the command center to make sure Riley doesn't really go off the radar here, because let's be real, Sadness, Fear, and Anger don't know what the fuck they doing when it comes to making someone's day happy. So now I gotta say one thing about this. The animation is fucking beautiful. I mean, at first, you know, I had a little worry about it because I was like, ooh, it looks like you know, it was kind of like the same thing with Up, which is funny because the director of this did do Up as well. And it was kind of like Up where, you know, everything looks so colorful and bright and everything. But, man, when you see it on screen in movement, it is just absolutely beautiful. I mean, I'm talking light years ahead of the year or whatever. And you know, one of the reasons why is that is because the co-director on this, wait for it, people, wait for it, Ronaldo Del Carmen. Anybody know who that is? Anybody know who that is? Take a guess. Who thinks they know what this is? You? You know what the fuck this is. No, shut the fuck up. You don't know. You? No? No? Okay, I'll name off some things he did in the animation art department, if you will. Up, of course. Ratatouille. Superman. And I'm talking about the TV series, too. The animated series at that. Does this ring a bell to anybody? Batman Mask of the Phantasm? That ring a bell to anyone? He was a storyboard designer on that one. How about Batman Beyond Return of the Joker? Okay. I see you guys are like, you're a little excited right now, but you're just like, oh, that's not enough right now, people. Those are just one movies. How about Batman the Animated Series? 21 episodes. A whole goddamn season. Actually more than one whole season, whatever. From 1992 all the way to 1995, Batman the Animated Series. This guy did the art and animation style on it. This guy is a fucking legend. He's a god. Batman the Animated Series, people, if you don't know who this is or whatever, this is one of the greatest superhero shows. Matter of fact, one of the greatest superhero properties of all time. It best beats anything those movies or any superhero movie has ever done. It's Batman the Animated Series. Love that animated series. This guy is fucking gold right here. And it's nice to see him working up in the Pixar Disney area. But the main director on you got is Pete Doctor. My man Pete Doctor. This dude, I keep forgetting about this guy. And I don't know why, because he makes such fantastic movies. I mean, he's one of the best directors working out today. Even though he's a creepy looking motherfucker, I will say that. He looks like goddamn retarded Gollum or something like that. You know what? He looks like he belongs in a box troll or something like that. But if you don't know who this guy is, man, he wrote such great things as, you know, Toy Story 2, Monsters, Inc. Not that crazy about, but I think it's still a fine new movie. WALL-E, Up, Inside Out, and he's going to be writing Toy Story 4. But he also directed some great things as well, such as, you know, Inside Out, Up, and Monsters, Inc. Well, it's pretty much it. Everything else he did was shorts after that. But Up is one of my favorite Disney Pixar films. Man, that movie has so much heart and charm to it. It just blows you away. But Inside Out, I think, just went ahead and topped that. Because Inside Out, unlike Up, Inside Up doesn't have that typical villain that comes out of nowhere. I wouldn't even say it came out of nowhere. They kind of based the whole movie around in that and Up. And he was very charismatic, too. But Inside Out, the villains here...
if I had to quote-unquote put villains in here, the villains really are the emotions in a way. Because everyone's saying, oh, I hope it ain't just a moody girl or anything like that. No, this movie shows you that this girl has no control of everything you see her do or anything like that. She's being controlled by these particular emotions. Without Joy in the command center, you got people like anger running things in here. And, of course, she's going to do some of the dumbest shit you've ever fucking seen. I thought that was really creative on Disney or Pixar's part, how they put this whole together. I mean, the funniest part in here was when Joy and Sadness first got, when they first left the command center, and fear, and disgust are running things, and they don't know what to fucking do. So she's just sitting there picking her food, and the mom is asking her, hey, there's a hockey tryout, and she just said, whatever. And then next you know, they showed the inside emotions of the mom, and it had me laughing my ass off, because the inside emotions of the mom, they were just like, oh, what do we do here? What do we do? And then it was just like, signal the husband. He'll know what to do, whatever. And she looks at the husband, and it goes into his emotions or whatever and shit. And she says, yeah, isn't that right? I don't remember his name in the movie, but she's just say husband or whatever. She's saying, what do you think should we do, husband, whatever? And then he goes to his head. He looks blank stared or whatever, and it shows his emotions. And they had a game on. And they were watching the game, then they cut it off, and was just like, oh, shit, what do we do? Do we leave the toilet seat up? Do we forget to take the trash out? What was going on? She wants to talk about feelings? Was something we did? That shit had the whole audience laughing their asses off. This movie, I like a lot. It's a lot of emotional beats. Now, it didn't make me cry, but I saw a grown-ass man sit. I ain't gonna say what company he worked with, because this is a public-private screen or whatever. Public was allowed in. Public was down row, private was up, but there was a grown ass man next to me with his kids, and he had a napkin in his hand. He kept wiping his eyes with it, and I had to look over every now and then. I was like, oh my god, he's fucking crying. And then I looked over to my my other side. A grown ass woman was crying, and once we follow Joy and Sadness, they run into an old imaginary friend of Riley's she has in here, and I thought he was gonna be the goofball cartoonish sidekick they seem to always throw in these films. But the longer he was on screen, because I was just like, I remember going in my head, I was like, I kind of wish they would just take him off and focus on Joy and Sadness to build their relationship. But the longer he came on screen or stayed on screen, the more I started liking him, and I was just like, man, he's talking some deep shit right now for a kid's movie. You know, there was a part in here where he was talking about, because Riley doesn't play with him no more, because clearly, she's like 11 years old now. You know, she's no longer 5 when she created this imaginary friend. So he's just kind of roaming her subconscious, trying to be memorized or remembered. So he's just like picking old memories from her memory, her longtime memory database, and just saving them, just storing up the good times they had together. And there's a scene here where everything's gone to shit now. Everything's gone to shit. Fear in them, they don't know what to do. Riley has lost all her memories that she had because Joy and Sadness are gone. And what fear does, he just says, fuck it, let's give her an idea to run away from home and move back to Minnesota so she can get back, you know, with her best friend, her old hockey team, her big house and stuff like that, because she doesn't have any of that anymore. And it may sound like she's kind of a spoiled brat, but the longer the movie goes on, it really does show a great detail of explaining, like, where these emotions are coming from and why she should feel this way, because they set up the layout of it so well done that you just like, wow, I really feel for this girl. And you really actually, even though it sounds like Sadness was the fuck up, you really actually do feel sympathetic for Sadness in here, because she's kind of the black sheep of the group here, because they treat her like shit. So you probably be sad every day. And plus, I like how she talks. She got that moment just like, well, the sun is out, but they say too much sun can give you cancer or something like that, you know? That's how she fucking talks about the whole movie. You know, she can bring up something happy. I remember Joy asked her, what's the fondest memories you had of Riley? She was like, I like going outside. It was like, and Joy was like, outside is good, outside is good. And she was just like, what do you like about outside? I like when it rains. And Joy was like, yeah, rain can be cool. You know, you jump in the puddles, cool umbrellas and stuff. And Sadness was just like, No, I meant more of like, you know, raining hard and you just standing there looking sad and worried. And then it's raining so hard your boots get filled up with water and no one's there to pick you up or anything. I like those kind of outside days. I was like, what the fuck? A lot of great moments like that. And well, the backtrack back on the imaginary friend here, Bing Bong, who was who the fuck was he voiced by again? Oh, I have it up right here, so I just look at the damn thing. Come on. He's voiced by Richard Kine. And Richard Kine did such a great job with this voice. There's a part in here where everything went to shithole, where I said when Riley lost everything, when they stuck this idea of making her run away in here. And Joy, she leaves sadness. She says, no sadness. Because Joy, she don't get that you need sadness in her life, because up to this point, sadness has actually helped Joy out in this world about 3 times at the most. And Joy is still kind of confused. I'm like, how did sadness do this? I thought happiness and stuff is like that's what you need in life. Although they make a really great detail of showing you. And actually, towards the storytelling, too, that, no, sadness is real, and you actually need this in life to kind of help you get over some of the bad things you have in life. And sadness actually brings some pieces of the puzzle together, if you want to make sense out of that. And they show you that with her family, that even though Riley is sad at the moment, the sad moments are are some of the most beautiful moments you have with her family, because one of her personalities was being with her family. So, and they showed a memory thing of like how almost every beautiful moment she's had with her family that wasn't all happy and joyful, they were probably even more meaningful than they were when she was happy. And I thought that the movie did a really well job of that. This movie really had me just at the edge, well, not the edge of my seat, but just like really wanted me just sitting there like, wow, Disney, you've done it again, man. You just, everybody keeps saying, oh, is Pixar ever going to get back? Personally, I never thought Pixar lost it. This is definitely, personally, I think it's better than Toy Story. I think it's better than Up. It's hard to say if it's better than Toy Story 3, because Toy Story 3, you know, that had 2 movies before it, because obviously, and you know, you're growing with these characters as they get older and stuff like that. But if this was definitely a franchise or had the sequels to go with it, man, I would definitely put that up there as better than all 3 Toy Stories. But it definitely is better to me than the first Toy Story. But so when all shit's going to hell, Bing Bong and Joy, they fall into this catacomb area where they call it the Forgotten Memories. That's where they pretty much just throw out memories that are no longer needed and stuff. And Bing Bong, he's kind of vanishing. You know, a piece of his arm is disappearing. And one of the things that they have here is he has a wagon that him and Riley, when she was 5, they kind of created. Mind you, folks, this is imaginary friends, so don't take any of this shit real. They have this wagon that they put like little cardboard wings on, and it could fly with singing. So they use that to try to fly out of this catacomb area, but find themselves failing about 3 times at the most. And then Bing Bong kind of sees himself evaporating a little bit more. And then he finally, he says, you know what, let's do it again, Joy. I think I got a good feeling about this. And I'm not going to lie, the theater erupted in tears when this happened. It was, and you could hear some people trying to hold it back, even that grown-ass man of it, but he was like, because Bing Bong decides, even though he's in the wagon at the time, he decides to sacrifice himself. Once they got in the air, he threw himself out of the wagon to finally make, because they couldn't make it to the cliff because it had, I guess, it had too much weight on it, and he's a big motherfucker. So he decided to throw himself out and just let himself be forgotten in Riley's memories. And it was one of the most, I don't know, it was a fucking beautiful ass scene, dude. It was unexpected and everything, and it was, it kind of, because you expect this character to be so fucking dumb and outlandish, where you're just like, oh, great, got one of those characters. But that sacrifice was probably the most beautiful scene in the whole movie, and I'm not gonna lie, if I had a heart, it'd probably make me cry too. But since I'm a selfless, arrogant fuck that lives in LA, I have no choice but to be an incognito looking motherfucker. But so, you know, so obviously, Joy realizes, she finally fucking realizes that, no, you know, we need sadness in the world and stuff like that. They really get it back together. And it was kind of funny how the movie wrapped itself up, too, because when they make it back to the control panel and everything works out all happy ending and stuff like that, they get a whole new, like, these workers come in and create a whole new control panel for them and stuff. And it's funny because Disgust, she was reading the control manual, and she just looked at it and said, what is this word? Puberty. And then I think she had just turned 12 or something like that. And I was just like, yeah, if they do make a sequel of it, it's going to be straight up bitch mode. I guess anger is going to be in control of that movie. But and then the movie ended itself with the credit scenes going around showing every character you met in the movie. And it did a really creative thing with showing their inside emotions. And it was hilarious as shit. Like, they even did one with the dog. And it was almost like the same thing from Up with the dog. Because they were just like, they started sniffing food that way or whatever and shit. And then there was one, it was funny as shit when they did it with the cat. It was just like, no, cats are just stupid. They don't have no fucking emotions. They just do whatever is random. And they were just like playing with shit and running and stuff like that. I was like, yep, that sounds about right. And then they did one with, like, I guess the cool girl at school and all her emotions going like, I think everybody can know we're fake now. No, I have eyeliner on. Be cool. Just look at people and say, sup. Really great movie, man. I was floored of how smart and creative this was. It was one of the most imaginative things I probably saw this year. Next to Tomorrowland, it's a shame that Tomorrowland kind of fucked that up. But no, I think Disney picked itself back up with this film. And oh man, I can say this right now. I don't know what the weekend box office is gonna be. I'm willing to bet Jurassic World is still number one, just out of the simple fact that it made $200 million last week. So it's probably gonna make half of this. But I bet I'm willing to bet Inside Out is fucking somewhere in the high 90s. I mean 90, like probably 96 million. I'm gonna probably go 94 to 96 million because, man, these theaters was crowded as shit, man. This screening I was at, it was crowded as shit. People was just lined up trying to get into everyone that came out after or whatever and shit. I was just like, damn, you open up a public screening to a Disney film, everybody fucking comes to that shit. But no, man, definitely. Like I said, this is very creative, imaginative. To me, it's the best film of the year. It's my favorite film of the year so far. I thought it was very, probably the most emotional film I've seen this week, year too, as well. So, yeah, this is getting, I don't know how to put this, but you know what? It's getting a double high see it. I say you fucking see it, and you need to see it, and you need to be with it and see it. And see it with the kids, see it with the family. I mean, this is one of those movies definitely where even dad's going to walk out and just be looking at his kid and going like, so that's what the fuck is going on in your head. I get it now. Okay, I get it.
I wish Joy was here.
We can fix this. We just have to get back to headquarters.
That's long-term memory. You could get lost in there.
Think positive.
Okay. I'm positive you will get lost in there.
What's that?
Was it a bear?
There are no bears in San Francisco.
I saw a really hairy guy. He looked like a bear.
This place is huge.
Imagination Land?
No way.
Dream Productions?
Rainbow Unicorn?
She's right there.
I loved you in Fairy Dream Adventure Part 7. Okay, bye. I love you.
We can't focus on what's going wrong. There's always a way to turn things around.
Broccoli.
Congratulations, San Francisco! You've ruined pizza!